But today, our scripture comes to us out of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 13. And it's coming to us out of the Amplified Bible. For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, he's dressed in a robe, dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. He's come to give us life. Open our hearts to listen, Lord. Convict us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is The Word of God Is. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and again here in the 4th chapter, we see the Israelites' plight. It's unbelief. It is a lack of faith. It is a failure to trust in God. And for 40 years, they tested and tried God. And they were left to wander in their wilderness experience for 40 years, never seeing the promise, never crossing the Jordan. But in Mark, the 1st chapter, we read that Jesus is baptized by John in that same Jordan River. And as Jesus comes up out of the water, he sees heaven torn open and the Spirit descends upon him. And God says, "You're my son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." And at once the scripture says the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. His wilderness experience. 40 days and nights, Jesus does combat with the devil. He rebukes every temptation that Satan throws at him. And he does it by quoting scripture. Scripture has authority, divine authority, and power for the believer. And in the end, the devil flees. The truth of the matter is, we will all deal with our own wilderness experience. And we might as well make good use of it. God does things here in the wilderness that just isn't going to happen anywhere else. He knows the deepest parts of our nature. We can't hide it. He knows our thoughts. And he knows the deepest intentions of our hearts. The deepest things God provides, he gives it to us in our wilderness. Revelation. A help in a time of need. And my beloved, we're never going to understand it or receive it or grow if we want to live a life that's all good all the time. And that's just what this world wants it to be. He's the glory cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So are you down in the valley? Cry out to him. He'll soften your hard heart. He'll lead you out. Just be willing to walk hand in hand with him. This wilderness experience is a part of life. Don't waste it. And don't run from it. Here's the story of a 5th grade elementary teacher. And she lies to her classroom on the very first day. She tells her students that she loves them all the same. Impossible. Because in the first row, slumped in his seat, is Teddy Stoddard. He doesn't play well with the other kids. His clothes are messy. Everything he does is messy. He constantly needs a bath. And as the school year progresses, Mrs. Thompson comes to define Teddy as unpleasant. And it quickly gets to the point where she found a great delight, a joy in marking an X on all of his wrong answers with a bold big red X. Nenshi loved to put a big F on the top of his papers. But in this school, there's a requirement for teachers, and it's to go back and review each child's past records. And you can bet in that class, Teddy was last. But here's what Mrs. Thompson found out. His first grade teacher writes that he's bright with a ready laugh. His work's neat, has good manners. He's a joy to be around. And his second grade teacher writes he's an excellent student, liked by his classmates. But he's troubled. His mother has a terminal illness. Home life must be a struggle. And the third grade teacher writes his mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father shows little interest. His home life is going to affect him if steps aren't taken. Fourth grade teacher writes, he's withdrawn and he's lost interest. He doesn't have many friends, and sometimes he sleeps in class. And Mrs. Thompson now sees the problem, and she's ashamed of herself, how she felt about Teddy, and how she came to treat him, how she judged him. Things looked worse on Christmas when the other students brought their teacher's gift. Their presents had bows and bright paper. Teddy's present was in a crinkled up grocery bag, and Mrs. Thompson struggled to open it. And the other kids giggled. Inside was a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle a quarter of the way full of perfume. And when she saw it, her heart just broke for Teddy. And she quieted the classroom by putting on the bracelet. And she said, wow, how nice it looked. And she dabbed perfume on her wrists. And that day, Teddy stayed long enough after the other students left to tell Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to. And when the classroom was empty, she sat and cried for an hour. You see, that day, she quit teaching subjects and began to teach children. She paid attention to Teddy. And the more she encouraged him, the more Teddy came alive. And the more he came alive, the faster he responded. By the end of the year, he was one of the smartest students in the class, a teacher's pet. A year later, Mrs. Thompson receives a note. Teddy writes, she's the best teacher he ever had in his whole life. 6 years later, she gets another note that he's finished high school, third in his class, and she's still the best teacher he ever had. 4 years later, another note, he stuck it out. He's graduating college with the highest of honors, and she's still the best teacher he ever had. 4 more years go by, and another letter comes. He's got his bachelor's, and he's decided to go on further, and she's still the best teacher he ever had. This time, the letter is signed, Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. Wow. And yet in the spring, another letter comes. I've met a girl, and I'm going to marry her. I'm wondering, Mrs. Thompson, if you'd come and sit in a seat reserved for the mother of the groom. You bet she did. And guess what? She wore the bracelet with several missing rhinestones. And she made sure she was wearing the perfume Teddy remembered his mom wearing on the last Christmas that they spent together. And they hugged each other. And Dr. Stoddard whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, thank you for believing me. You made me feel important. You showed me that I can make a difference. This was Teddy's wilderness experience. And Mrs. Thompson whispered back with tears in her eyes, oh, Teddy, you got it all wrong. You taught me I can make a difference. I didn't know how to teach until I met you. This was her wilderness experience. Friends, we all have a wilderness to cross. No two are exactly alike. The question is, what's yours? And what's it going to take for you to see that you can't get through it on your own? Moses writes in Deuteronomy 8, and I know this to be true in my own life. Remember how the Lord led you in the wilderness, how he humbled you and how he tested you to know your heart. allow it to happen. It changed my heart. The author of Hebrews in the 12th chapter writes, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and of peace for those who have been trained by it." I ask you to think, how has life trained you? Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet. How? You live by the word of God, where it is critical for life. Nothing else in this whole world is more important. Bind your heart and thoughts to the word of God. Don't let anything come between you and his word. And when you go through trials, don't turn away from him, but become dependent upon him. How? Through faith in his word. Accept his discipline. He's humbling you, that you would come to understand that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Oh, I want you to know, here's the good news. For the Lord's bringing you into a good land. And I come to tell you, there's pomegranates there. You'll lack nothing there. You'll overcome by his grace through his strength. The fight belongs to God. Jesus says in John 6, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. But the words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Live life to its fullest. Come to a deeper place in the presence of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Tie your life to his Word in all you think, say, and do. So are you in a wilderness? Are you discouraged? Is defeat at your doorstep? Humbly, meekly, come. Bind your heart to his Word. Bow to his word and become changed by his word. Blessed life long, prospering in the spirit, we've learned to walk by faith in his word. Don't waste your wilderness experience. Let it grow fruit in your life, confident that God's with you through thick and thin. He wants to do good in your life. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Take your wilderness and give it to God. God's preparing you to bless you. Regardless of what this world wants, life without trial and testing leaves us spoiled, proud, and we think we're entitled. Our relationship with God begins to die, but he never stops loving you. He holds you in his mighty hands. He has plans for you, a future for you, a destiny for you. Thank God for my wilderness. Thank God I was brought to that very point. Thank God I humbly bowed down and that I lived dependent on him. All by his mighty hand, my bonds are broken. My pride, my fear, my insecurity. One by one, he empowers me to lay them at the foot of the cross. James writes in the first chapter, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. The testing of your faith develops perseverance." I tell you, back on the farm, my grandfather would always say to me, "John, are you ready to persevere? John, are you ready to grow?" Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We worship a generous God. And listen to this, who gives without finding faults. Let me tell you, faults, I got a stack of them. Follow them. Pursue him. Put yourself into him. When you pick up his word and you learn of him, you change day by day, year by year. I'm not who I was in the beginning. And as we grow, God opens our eyes to new revelations. Revelations that we would never receive unless we pursued him and unless we studied his word. Wherever you find the Bible in your house, that's where it's found in your heart. I ask you, what shape is your Bible in? Is it beat up? Have you underlined anything with highlighter? Let me ask you something. What would this world be like if there were no Bibles? I can tell you, it would be an absolute living hell. And that's what life comes to for those who never open it. Because inside of it, God shows you his heart. He shows you his mind, his very character. He makes everything known, life, death, heaven and hell. The Bible brings us to joy, to rejoicing. He shows us his tender mercies. The Bible brings us to this type of joy and to this type of rejoicing. He has a purpose for us. He has a destiny for us. And so his word is alive. It brings our hearts to life when we pursue it. It's a double-edged sword. It is the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians. God wields it. It cuts. It belongs to God, not us. He gave his word to help us and not harm us. Are you willing to allow it to cut you in order to save you? Are you willing to see yourself through his eyes and not your own? The only way to hide in this world is not to open your Bible. Because through the Bible, you, his word, and God all come together. There's no part of you that can be hidden from God. You can't fill yourself up with things and live a satisfied life without God. You can't water down your conscience or his word. The word goes deeper than any message we can preach. Only God's there where your spirit and soul meet. Only God can penetrate soul and spirit. Only God can put his hand on the deepest part of your nature, between joints and marrow. Only God. He's close and he's intimate. So I ask you today, what are you going to do with him? For we live in a world that only wants joy. Joy and no tears and no remorse. But the sword God wields, it brings tears. But it also brings joy. Sometimes it brings outright laughter. Pursue it. Let his word take root in your life and let it transform your heart. Please pray with me. Thank you, Father, for your living and powerful word. I pray no matter what it takes, your spirit uses it in me to convict, to convert, and to conform me into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, that I might become the person that you want me to be and be used by you to reach and show your love, strength, and hope into the lives of all those around me. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen.